ago that I mentioned we would be in Mark for this new year, and we will. We'll get to Mark next week. I just felt like we needed a little bit better place to pause with Exodus, and this actually lends us to a new year. So Exodus today, then we'll be in Mark for a little while. We'll return to Exodus later in the year. I think you'll actually see that those will dovetail real nicely. I want to start with a question in this new year, though, and it's this. Do you find it difficult to remember what God has said? Do you find it difficult to remember the truths, the things that God says in His Word? Maybe you find memorization difficult. I sure do. Often told I was the Awana dropout. I never made it past the whatever the red vest Sparkies or whatever, because I just reached a point in the book and I just, for whatever reason, couldn't say the next verse right. It became so frustrating to me that I was done. To my shame, and I'm sure I would have benefited greatly if I had persevered through that. But I'm not just talking about memorization. I mean even just in kind of your own way of re-saying things you've learned from the Scriptures. Don't you find sometimes that it's easy to forget? You know, a new crisis happens. Something takes you by surprise. Life throws you a curveball. And you know all these truths. You know these things that the Lord has said to encourage you and to build you up and to keep your eyes fixed on Him. And yet, so often, I'll speak for myself here, if not for you, those things kind of recede into the background, don't they? Unless we're real intentional about remembering and focusing on what the Lord has said, all that knowledge, it's still there, but it's like it's tucked away somewhere. And I think the reality for you and I is that our biggest hurdles in growing as a Christian maturity, aren't that we don't have enough information. That may be a hurdle at some point or another in your Christian life, but for most of us, that's not really the problem. We have access to the Scripture in our own language. Most of us probably have multiple Bibles sitting around our house or downloaded on our phone. Instead, I think our biggest problem might well be that we forget what God has already told us in His Word. And if you're in that boat, I want to say that there is great news from our passage today. We'll be in Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 through 13. And I'm going to start by doing what no pastor should. I'm going to start by telling you all the reasons why you've already heard all this before. Because you have. As we read through these verses, if you were here for the start of our Exodus series, you're going to say, oh, I've heard this. And you have. There's really nothing new here that wasn't already said in Exodus chapters 2, 3, and 4. It's all the same. In fact, a lot of the words are even the same. And I actually think that's a blessing. Why? Well, two reasons. One, our God is a lot wiser than we are. And so the very thing that we so quickly tire of, you know, any sort of repetition, we think, oh, I've heard this before. That's the very thing we need, isn't it? And our God is gracious enough to give us these built-in reminders of truths that we're so quick, so apt to forget. And here's then the second thing. It's not just repetition, but it's also reassurance. Right? The reason that a husband tells his wife each day of how much he loves her is not generally because she forgets. I realize in some cases that might be true, medical things and such. But instead, the husband says those words because they're reaffirming what's true. Right? We don't say, oh, honey, you know, you told me that on our wedding day. You don't need to ever tell me again. Like, no one says that, you know. Let's not treat the Bible in that way either. Instead, we needed to be reminded. We need to be told again. We need to see anew that our God is committed to His people. Nothing has changed. Even when we forget, he does not. And so we are going to see those twin truths held up in Exodus chapter 6, picking up with verse 2. Here's how Moses continues. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say, therefore, to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and harsh slavery. And so the first truth that we need to see out of these repeated truths, out of this bit of history not just in the, you know, in the name and date and location sense, but history of what God is doing with his people. The first truth we need is this. It's important to remember what God has said. I know that's stating the obvious, but it's so important that God himself reminds his people of what he has said. Ultimately, then, we see three pictures of this reminding, three pictures of this importance, past, present, future. We begin with the past, verses 2 through 4, where we get these reminders that this is Yahweh, this is the Lord, right? All caps, L-O-R-D. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob didn't know this personal name of God, but it's the same God. And so the Lord then goes back and he's recounting all of this history to show Moses and his enslaved people, hey, the same God who kept his promises, upheld his covenant, did all that he said he would do, that's the God who's making these new promises to you. It's as if to say, look at my track record and be encouraged. Right? That's the picture that we have here. Go to verse 5, and we read of the present. Right? As Moses stood there, perhaps confused, doubting the Lord, God himself reminded him of what had been said before. Right? This was back at the burning bush. God has heard the groaning of his people. He knows directly their harsh slavery. He most definitely does remember his covenant promises. The all-powerful God of the universe has not forgotten his people. They haven't been overlooked. They don't suffer unnoticed. And God is telling Moses these things, you know, in the present tense. God knows. Not just that he knew or knew of. He knows. But it's not just that. With those reminders, our Lord then speaks of the future, verses 6 through 9. Moses was to take this message to the doubting, even to the accusing people of God, right? The people that God would rescue. They weren't so sure of that. They were wondering, okay, you know, Moses, you guys remember this story, right? Moses, you and Aaron came in, and it was all excited. You told us we were going to be free, and then you went to Pharaoh, and not only are we not free, our work is harder, it's harsher, right? Everything's actually getting worse. And the people of God start start taking this out on Moses most directly, but it really infects their trust in the Lord, doesn't it? And so you get this picture then of the future, this reminder, no, God is going to rescue. It will happen. And if that sounds familiar, that's because that's how chapter 4 ended, where Moses told the people of God's promise. Remember, they responded with like that huge sort of worship gathering, that concert, we might say. And then everything changed when Pharaoh put his extra workload on them. So then we finally come to verse 9, and what we see is, you know, not this rousing cheer of, oh, our God who's been faithful in the past and gives us promises in the present and has told us of what he will accomplish in the future. Wow! No, that's not what they say, is it? Instead, verse 9, they did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and their harsh slavery. These are a people who have taken their eyes off of the Lord and placed them on their hardships and on their masters in Egypt. And there's two lessons we need to walk away with from these verses. Here's the first. What God's people needed was hope, and they would get that by looking back on what the Lord had done. You and I need to be intentional about knowing who God is, what he has promised, how he has acted in history, so that we would have hope as we follow him in the present and trust him in the future. Brothers and sisters, hope comes so often from looking back. And if we don't remember, then any chance of us having hope is severely diminished. It is skewered. It is reduced in the extreme. Right? So often you see examples of this in the scriptures. God's people are to look back so that they can move forward. We would do well to do that also. I mean, do you understand the massive blessing of the scriptures? More precious than gold. More important than lottery tickets, whatever billion something that we're up to these days. Better than beauty, better than health. If we truly valued the scriptures for what they are, this gift from our eternal heavenly God, we would be the most confident people on the planet. Not in ourselves, not because we've got it all together, but because we would know and believe all that God has said and preserved for generation upon generation. Right? That's the gift that you have right now, and you're holding it in your hand or on your phone, or it's, you know, on your night table at home. And do you realize the glittering promises that are there for you? Are you looking for hope in this new year? Are you wanting to remember what Christ has done and what he has promised? How will you do that? How will you get that? How will you keep those truths before your eyes in a world that's going to try to distract you with anything, everything else? In a world that tries to redefine all of life, acting like we're not on a sinking ship apart from God? How will you focus on the Lord and what he has said? Simply this: pay attention to what God says and not what the world says. Pay attention to what God says rather than what marketers and advertisers and politicians and spin doctors and everyone else has said. Right, that's really what we're doing when we're reading the Bible, aren't we? Because we're ultimately saying, okay, Lord, for the next whatever it is, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, longer, I want to hear from you, not from them. Right? We need to do more of that as God's people. Read the scriptures. Listen to them. Right? Sometimes folks will say, Kevin, but it's hard. And okay, it'll never get easier if you don't read it. And I say that because that's true, right? It is hard. Okay, read. You'll become familiar. But also listen. You know, pull up a Bible app on your phone and listen. lesson on your commute in and out of work. Right? Get God's word into you. Work it into you. Rewrite sections of the Bible. Do whatever it takes to hide God's word in your heart. Because if you don't do that, I guarantee you a multi-billion dollar marketing and advertising industry is going to hide their words in your heart. Their words are calculated to make you unhappy and to set your hopes on things far lesser than eternity. Who will you look to? That's the first thing. Here's the second. I want you to notice the dangerous situation the Hebrew people had fallen into. They had stopped believing in God's word. What do I mean by that? I mean that they had stopped being encouraged by the voice of the one true God. Here in chapter 6, God gives Moses a message, a reminder. Moses takes it to him, and the people are like, meh. You know, things aren't going well here, though. Things are bad now. You know, there was no sense of like, wow. You know, in the midst of our hardship, the Lord wanted us to know that he's still here. He's still going to keep his promises. They'd completely taken their eyes off of that. They cared more about their slavery than the Lord's promises. And brothers and sisters, aren't we so often the same? We become focused and fixed on what's right here. And because of that, we don't see what he's promised out there for eternity. None of that means that we get a pass on forgetting or denying God, but it does mean this is our natural tendency. And because we know that, we can combat it. So what's the solution? It's to not take your eyes off the Lord in the first place. Right? Doggedly refuse to give up on what God has said. Well, when Jesus promises to return, do you believe that? Like, not just know it, not just, well, I know I'm supposed to believe it because it's part of our 10 points that we hold to here at First E3. I mean, do you actually believe he's coming back? I do. And no person with a bunch of letters after their name on TV, no giant book is going to convince me otherwise because Jesus has told me he's coming back. It's okay to have that kind of faith, brothers and sisters. We live in a time when we're told everything has to be, you know, so sophisticated and all these details and it all has to be modified by the latest research. And I, of all people, love studying. That's true. I want to grow in that way. But you know what matters most? It's not, do you understand the latest archaeological discovery over here and how that impacts what we believe about the flood over there? And I mean, if you do, that's great. But you know what matters most is that here's what God has said. Hold to that and you'll never be put to shame in eternity. There's no shame in simply taking our Lord at his word. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Look at verse 10. So the Lord said to Moses, go in, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But Moses said to the Lord, behold, the people of Israel have not listened to me. How then shall Pharaoh listen to me? For I am of uncircumcised lips. But the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a charge about the people of Israel and about Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. All right, so if we start with remembering and fixing our eyes on and focusing on what God has said, I want you to notice how we end up. It's to trust what God will do. Well, that's not the most scintillating, like, oh, you know, there's something new, some sort of new idea I've never heard before. No, it's believe what God has then said. Act accordingly. Not too long ago, I had the joy of figuring out what it looks like when a transfer case in your all-wheel drive car goes out. You know, as I'm driving back from picking up dinner, and I hear this horrific grinding noise. I mean, it sounded like if you took a box of glass and just shook it. And indeed, the car was shaking. Come to find out, it's also leaking oil all the way home from that transfer case. That was sending me a signal, wasn't it? Hey, there's a problem. You need to do something about this. Right? So I have two choices. I can park the car in my driveway and just say, well, you know, I mean, it still starts when I turn the key. Okay, it sounds bad. It doesn't really go very fast anymore, and it's kind of herky-jerky, like I'm on a gravel road, but that's fine. It still goes. Or I could say, wow, there must be something wrong. I need to do something as a result of what I'm hearing, what I'm experiencing, the knowledge that I'm gathering of this is not normal. Took it in, got it fixed, obviously. Okay, well, the Christian life is not so different. God has reminded people of these truths. He said, I know it looks one way, but understand my promises have not failed. They will not. I know what's going on. And now what is Moses supposed to do? You even see him doing what we so often do. Well, okay, Lord, I know I'm supposed to go and take this message, but I mean, the folks have already, they're not going to want this. And so what's God's solution? Verse 13, but the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, gave them a charge about the people of Israel, which was to say, go tell them, and about Pharaoh, king of Egypt, go tell him, to bring the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. In short, the Lord just doubles down on his message. No, Moses, this is what I've said is going to happen. It really doesn't matter who's upset with my timeline. It doesn't matter if people don't like it. This is what will happen. Which then is why I say, trust what God will do. If you know the story of Exodus, you know this is exactly what God will do. He will bring his people out with a mighty arm. And it will end up being the foundation story of Israel from this point on. So much so that even a conservative Jew today thinks of the Exodus as their story. This is their, if you're into superheroes, like this is their origin story. And it is. And it's because God kept his promises. And so first, Ephraim, I want you to see this connection as we enter into 2025. Remembering leads to believing, leads to responding, walking, acting on those beliefs, on that remembering. Do you believe in this God? Do you believe that his Son, our Savior, has come and will return? And will you keep on believing all that he has said? Will you doggedly hold to Christ rather than to whatever new philosophy, whatever new cultural trend comes along and says, no, 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 this is better. No, nothing and no one is better than Jesus. I can guarantee you of that. Of all the things that will happen in this new year, all the new cool gadgets that will come out, all of the promises that will be made to you by everyone from business leaders to politicians, I guarantee you none of them will be more sure and certain than what God has said. Our world is filled with words, with ideas, with voices. The challenge for the people of Israel is the challenge for you and I. Who will we listen to? Whose words will we hold on to? The message of Exodus is unchanged, even all these centuries later. Hold to God's words. Believe his promises. Live in accordance with what he has said in 2025. Because his words are true. His promises will hold. And our Savior prepares for his return and our joy. Even now. Heavenly Father, would you work in our hearts and minds at the top of this year so that we, as your people, we as First Ephraim, would trust and hold to and delight in all that you've said, all that you've promised. Lord, would you have us be a people who have faith? A faith given by you, faith bigger than our circumstances. Faith not in ourselves, not that we've figured everything out, but faith that you have told us what is true and that we can trust all that you have said. And Lord, based on that faith, then our prayer is that we would be useful for your mission of calling a people to yourself, a people who will be saved and then grow in your Son, Jesus Christ, and then go out and take that message to still yet others. And Lord, as we do that, we pray that you would give us joy, not the joy of everything in this life going according to the American dream or to our own dreams, but instead the joy